Today we want to focus our thoughts on prayer, and we're looking in the Old Testament, which is our assignment right now. And I want to look at a character today by the name of King Hezekiah. How many of you recently heard about Hezekiah? It's one of those places you usually don't get to very often. 2 Kings 20, 1 through 11, and prior chapters to that also are referring to this whole discussion that we're going to be looking at this morning. It talks about the life of King Hezekiah and how he was a good king. He was a good king. He was trying to take his nation back, just as we were singing about, taking the nation back. He did that. He was very involved in tearing down those places of idol worship, as well as the shrines and things like that. And people had these bronze statues and stuff like that. And he said to them, he said, they're just bronze. They're just bronze things. You know, there's no life to them. There's no life there. Why do you give your attention to them? Well, nowadays we got computers and we got this and we got that and we got cell phones and everything. They can make noise. And they can be idols. We got to be careful with them. To use technology in the way that it assists us in our lives. And I sort of say that because on school board we want technology to help and assist along with the curriculum. You don't want technology to drive everything. You want it to be assistive. So we want the Bible to be the driving force in our lives. So as we look today, we want to take the scriptures here. Let's go to the scripture now, to 2 Kings 20, and looking at verses 1 through 11. 2 Kings, I better get to the right spot. I'm still at 1 Kings. That's not good. That won't work. Won't quite sound the same. And in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass afore Isaiah was gone out of the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn around. You got to go back again. Turn again. Tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Syria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, What shall be a sign that the Lord will heal me? Do we sometimes get in that place? What is a sign, Lord, that you're going to do something? Where are you going to take new beginnings? From one fire hall to another? And that I will go up into the house of the Lord the third day. And Isaiah said, This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees, or shall the shadow go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which he had gone, by which it had gone down in the dale of Ahaz. We see the character here of Hezekiah. We also see there were other friends and people, characters in the Bible that had some challenges in their life, and that was by the name of Job. Job also had some challenges. He had three friends with him, and Job stated that the wicked people have no regard for God and no use for prayer. Who is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? Job 21:15. The unrighteous obviously had no confidence in God. They see no value in prayer. What is prayer? What do you Christians do with prayer? What do you pray? Why? Why do you pray? God doesn't answer anyway. But for Christians, what is a prophet? What prophet should we have if we pray unto him? It is exciting and promising. We know that God hears and answers prayer when we pray. We have a passion. We have a desire. We also have a commitment. We have a commitment, right? As a Christian, we have made a commitment and a covenant with Jesus Christ. We have made covenants in our lives many times, especially those who are married. We made covenants to one another. We made commitments to our spouse. Yes, how about your time? How about that? You see that as we go along here in our topic today, we see other characters that were affected by prayer. Elijah was one of those characters who was prayed, and the fire came down from heaven. The offering was consumed. We know that who was he against at that point? He was against the prophets of Baal, and they were calling out to bring fire down to burn up this stuff to no avail. And you can read about that, I think, in 2 Kings 18. It tells you about that, how that they were trying to get their gods, their little g gods, to come and answer it. Didn't happen. And then he went before them. He put water and water and water and water on it. And when he prayed, the fire came down from heaven and swallowed up, burned up everything, even the dust and the dirt and stuff. His God, Elijah's God, was the God, the only God. Paul and Silas prayed in prison. The foundations were shaken. There's an earthquake. The doors were open. The prisoners that were bound were loosed. And the jailer, what was he going to do? He was going to kill himself, because he knew if those prisoners escaped, he was going to die anyway. Yes, but you see what Paul and Silas, the jailer came to Paul and Silas and got on his knees before them trembling. And they had opportunity to talk to them about the important things of life. Hannah prayed, and God gave her a son. His name was, you may answer me, Samuel. Samuel. She made a vow to him that he would be a Nazarite and certain things would not take place in his life. In Psalms 91:15, it says, it contains the promises of the Lord. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Yes, God answers prayer. I know not by what methods rare, but this I know, God answers prayer. I know not if the blessing sought will come in just the guise I thought. I leave my prayers to him alone, whose will is wiser than my own. You see here the statement that was made about prayer. Yes, the statements of prayer are true, but if God's ears are deaf and if our prayers go no higher than the ceilings, it's not going to help. Now, there are times that there's no answer. what seems to happen. When our troubles increase, rather than our troubles decreasing, they increase. Does that ever happen in your life? When we are to doubt the very promises of God, I believe the answer lies in the fact that God does respond to all our prayers as believers, but there's three different ways that it happens. That is of yes, no, and wait. And what I mean by that, I'd like to take us through some scriptures this morning and go back a little bit to our King Hezekiah that we read about, to use these as a way to help enhance our prayer life, my prayer life, so that I might be more faithful in coming to Him in prayer. The first way that God answers our prayers is to give exactly what we want. He says yes, and we see that here in the life of Hezekiah in 2 Kings 20 through 6. He tells him to set your house in order. Set your house in order, for you're going to die and not live. Get your heart in order by the acts of repentance and of faith. Resign to God with cheerful farewell to the world. Make your will. Well, you probably have your will made, hopefully. Make your will out. Settle your estate. Get your bills paid, because you're going to be leaving this earth. You need to take care of things. And as I read here, we see that then King Hezekiah petitions the Lord, prays, and gives him this litany. And the Lord knows exactly what he did. But you see the persistence that King Hezekiah had here in this. And, you know, I go back again to looking at some of the things in chapter 18 where it talks about Hezekiah removing the idols, the shrines, and because of the burning incense and things that the people were doing. Those things. And he says, get your house in order, or you're going to die. Make any wrongs right. And God does say yes. God does say yes to Isaiah the prophet, who was telling him to get his house in order. There are times that people say that if there's any sick among you, let him pray. Prayer of faith will save the sick. It's not the oil, but it's a prayer of faith. He's praying too, is the sentence of death reversible? It must be by prayer alone. Prayer is one of the best preparations also for the time of death, because we get strength and grace from God to finish well. Just as Hezekiah here, he received a bigger answer to his prayer than he was expecting. He asked and he received. And I want to turn to 2 Kings 19, verse 14. 2 Kings 19. 2 Kings 19. This is the time that Hezekiah was faced with this army from Syria coming to him. And what does Hezekiah do? Let me share with you. And Hezekiah received a letter at the hand of the messengers, and he read it. Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sheneneb, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the king of Assyria's, has destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For there were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood, stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. And it goes on there about that. But here, King Hezekiah takes this petition before the Lord and lets him deal with it. Aren't there times in our lives when we want to say, Lord, this is before you. How can I deal with this? What do we do? How do we function? How do we act? What do we do? I know of somebody that said that there are certain things in their lives, and he said, we just take it and lay it before the Lord, because there's nothing that I can do, but we need to lay it before the Lord. Because in Ephesians 3:20, he says, he is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in you and I. The power that works in you and I. Great comfort to know that he says yes to our prayers. There was another time that God answered prayers, and that was in Zechariah. Luke 1:13. But the angel of the Lord said, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and shall call his name John, John the Baptist. The early church, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were, as they were assembled together, and they were what? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And what did they have? They had boldness. They had boldness. And Lord God be with them as they go on their run right now for whoever it is they may be going for. Also, we have Abram who interceded on behalf of Sodom. Abraham also interceded on behalf of his brother Lot. And you can read that in Genesis 18, verse 23, which I'm not going to look at this morning. But we see the intercession, the prayer that took place. How many times brother Abraham prayed for and interceded on behalf of Lot? There are times that we intercede on behalf of our children, behalf of our friends, behalf of other folks that we know. That's a yes answer to prayer. A no is an answer. He may say no to our requests according to his wisdom. And that's the thing. We understand his wisdom and will is not always our wisdom and will. Think about that. Sometimes if we want it, we'd say we want it now. We want it before then. We want it at our timing. But sometimes our desires are not granted. He may do so for a number of reasons. Why may that happen? It may be greater for us to, it'd be better for us not to have it. It may be a concept that we have and we would not be able to handle it. You ever hear some people say that they would like to know what's going to happen in my life? What's going to take place in my life for the next 5 to 10 years? But you know, God knows that there are times in our lives that we wouldn't be ready to hear and to know what's taking place. God says, trust me, trust me, trust me. Put your faith in me. One who is an unbeliever has no assurance of answered prayer. The man born blind and healed by Christ spoke the truth when he said in John 9:31, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth he his will, he hears them. We cannot expect our prayers to be effective unless we are living in a fellowship with God. John 15, of course, if you abide in me and you abide, if you abide in me and I in you, and it goes on there. Or in Psalm 66:18, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Are we abiding? Are there hindrances to our prayers? Is there sin that may be avoiding some of the good things that God wants for us? No is an answer when we ask amiss, because it says in James 4:3, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Because we're selfish and we want it for me. We want it for me, not for the glory of God. Or because it's not in accordance with God's will. And this is the confidence that we know, that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, what does He do? He hears us. It is Him we serve and Him that we please. The Lord may say no when we ask, but it's for our own benefit, because God knows us better than we know ourselves. We don't know. God's refusal in reality is really an answer to our prayer. Lehman Strauss says in his book, Sense and Nonsense About Prayer, when God says no, that is an answer. It is a denial. Many Christians do not have an understanding of this kind of answered prayer. They simply complain that God did not answer prayer. We also know that Elijah was one of those guys, after he had that encounter with all the prophets of Baal and things, he was pretty wiped out at that point, and he just wanted to leave because he knew his life was the next one in danger, because the queen wanted to go after him and kill him. But he left. And he said, "Oh, take my life," in 1 Kings 19:4. He says, "Oh Lord, take my life. Take my life." He was done. He was wiped out. Could we say he was depressed? Do we get depressed sometimes? Elijah cried out to God, "Take my life." But that wasn't God's will for him. God miraculously provided for Elijah's physical needs. We know that because we have the story here in 1 Kings 19. And later on, we see that Elijah was taken into heaven by a whirlwind, from 2 Kings 2:11. And you can take a look through these scriptures sometime and just see how that all plays out together. At times He denies what we ask for, but He knows best. If He does not grant our petition, our heart and our hearts are right with Him, we should in simple faith depend on Him to meet our needs, because we know that He is always faithful. The Apostle Paul also had a situation that God denied a request, but he said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Paul was willing to glorify through it. When he says no, he may substitute something better. The story is told about Henry Bosch in the Daily Bread. A certain man lived so far from a store that he sent for his clothing by email. At the bottom of the printed order, the form, he would always see the words, "If you don't have the article in stock, may we substitute?" He remembered that on one occasion when he wrote yes, he got something that was worth double the price of the article requested. Along with it came a note that said, "We're sorry that we do not have the article in stock that you ordered. Therefore, we are sending you something better at our expense." After that, the man said he always printed the word yes very plainly at the bottom of the order blank. He knew that he would not be disappointed by the substitutions that they would make. It's wise for us to remember to say yes. This would indicate our willingness to let God change our prayers according to His will. We know that we could send something far better, because in Ephesians 3:20 it says, "Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." Have you got any of those mail orders? Have you got any of those orders coming in from Jesus Christ that you prayed for, that you asked God for? Thirdly is wait. Wait. And we don't like to wait. And sometimes when the ambulance goes by, we got to pull over and let them go by and wait till they get past. Our request may be right, but the timing wrong. The Lord knows the conditions aren't right. He may put us in a holding pattern. Holding pattern. Any of you ever been in flying an airplane and they say, well, we're scheduled to land. We're about the fourth or fifth one in line to land. So what are you doing? You're up there circling around somewhere, hoping the fuel isn't going to run out or anything. But you're put in a holding pattern. And you and I sometimes, I should speak for myself and let you think for yourselves. Sometimes a holding pattern isn't always the delightful place to be. But it's called faith and trust. We all probably at times have prayed earnestly for something. Fulfillment of a dream, loved one's salvation, answers that seem to never come. But in God's timing, our request was granted. We can thank God as we look back for not saying it's not granted. Yes, but sooner. This week I had the privilege to hear Janato Wamdeo and Rachel, they're from the EYN Church in Africa. They're over here for 2 weeks. And in a little bit, he shared with us for a period of time. But I had to think what he was sharing about. Over in Africa right now, the EYN Church continues to pray for the Chinbrook girls. And they continue to pray for them. And he said, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we wouldn't be where we are today. They still continue to pray and believe that in timing, they will be released. The church over there, the headquarters in EYN, the place where 1,000 to 2,000 people usually gather, with the roof had been torn off and all kinds of damage to the headquarters. That roof is back on. The buildings are being reoccupied very slowly. But when you have the displacement of thousands and thousands of people living in tents, you realize that the pastors, they have pastors who have no churches to serve because of that many people dying. But because of Boko Haram, their faith has been renewed. And they continue to pray for them and for the families that they come in contact with. There was 50 districts and now there's 52. Through all this, the church is continuing to grow and reach out. They are starting to get some seed and fertilizer and things to help develop more again. But it's for the grace of God. They also were grateful for many of the people that helped them with healing and hurt. MCC is in the town of Josh helping people work through all that they faced. And as I said, living in tents. That's just a brief overview of it. So I just, as we think of prayer, we think of yes, no, and wait. In waiting, we learn to rest and trust, and we learn not to wrestle with God. Waiting is good for us. The poet writes like this, unanswered yet, no, do not say ungranted. Perhaps your part is not fully done. The work began when first your prayer was uttered, and God will finish what he has begun. If you will keep faith essence burning there, his glory you shall see sometimes, somewhere. My friend, God does answer prayer. Sometimes the answer is yes, more than we expect. But sometimes the answer is no, for he knows that when we ask, it's not good for us. Sometimes he says, wait, for us to learn patience, to trust more fully. Whatever he does is for our benefit and for our blessing. When we understand and believe this, we can come expectantly, we come rejoicing in the answers and remain strong in hope. Prayer is an essential part of our relationship with God. Yet too often we neglect the vital bridge of communication with the Heavenly Father. Jesus' disciples saw the effect of their master, the prayer on his life. Many times he would go and pray alone and spend time in communication with the Father. My question for us this morning is there ways that we might improve our prayer life, improve our commitment to that which God has called us to? Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning thanking you for this place to worship, to come and praise you and to give you glory and honor. We also thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit's presence with us to continue to teach us and lead us in your paths of righteousness to bring glory and honor to you. I thank you for the opportunities of the past week to continue to tell the good news of Jesus Christ to those we meet. And I pray for the opportunities of this week, Lord, that you're going to place people in our paths, that you're going to help us to desire to walk in closer commitment to you, and that we'll desire to have more time in prayer and communication with you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. Amen. Let's sing that song. How many of you know it? God answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer at noon. God answers prayer in the evening.